Actually, I love Phoenix, and I'm one of these weirdos that really loves dry heat. And, you know, it's like you're hot, and then you go in the cold shopping mall, and then when you're cold, and you go out in the hot, dry heat, and then am I the only weird one that does that? Okay, anyway. But this is a great place to live, and it's been a real delight to be here the last few days. How many of you ever discovered in life that sometimes God challenges you to do something that's totally outside your comfort zone? How many of you ever had that problem before? It's sort of like, it's pretty actually part of Christianity, isn't it? It's part of stretching our faith. And I know that happened to me. It was back in 1997. I was the Western Regional Coordinator for an organization back east called Rutherford. And everything was, after 5 years, I'd open an office for them. Everything was going really smooth. And what happens in life when everything's really smooth and you're on cruise control and just headed down the highway? You know what happens? And suddenly, a big cow gets in the middle of the road and you have to go left or right or have lots of hamburger meat. And that line works much better in Texas, I'll tell you, okay? So that's what happened to me. The national office called me, said, "Brad, we're having to scale back. We're going to have to shut down your regional office." And I was coordinating litigation in 14 Western states at the time. They said, "We're going to have to shut it down. But we want to keep you, though. We want you to head up our, and give you a promotion, we want you to head up our new public affairs office in Washington, D.C. It'll be the media point man for all of our cases, all of our litigation across the country." And so I said yes, because God was closing one door and opening another door, and you don't have to really pray about that. Yeah. So I said yes, and then I had lots of insomnia. And I couldn't sleep. And I was double-minded. I was going to sell my house there in Sacramento, and yet I knew that I was going to be staying in California. It was just torture. And, you know, I was like, you know, wanting to get on my boat, get away from Nineveh as fast as I can. And I didn't want to talk to God about it, I guess, so to speak. But the reality is, I realized I needed to pray. And I needed to seek the Lord. And that's what I did. And when I did, God put on my heart that the desires and passions He's given me is to stay in California and continue the work that we've been doing. So with boldness and courage, I said, "Yes, Lord, I will rise the call. I will rise the challenge. I will do exactly what You want me to be. I will be faithful on several conditions." And that's just what I did, because I was scared, right? And it's normal to be scared, right, when God's challenging you. Sometimes we, you know, think as Christians, you know, God has no idea how this is way above what my scale, my pay scale. This is way above. And yet, the reality is, God wants us. He knows what we're thinking. He wants us to share it. He wants us to be open about these challenges. He's not a God that's far away. He's a God that's very close, and He knows us inside and out. You know, when you guys are frustrated and stressed, where do you go in the Bible when you want to be encouragement? Where usually do you go in the Bible? What book of the Bible usually? Psalms, right. And so you go to Psalms and you go, "Okay, let's see, I'm going to be encouraged." And ooh, not this one. Ooh, not this one. Ah, this one, okay. It's called psalm flipping, okay? We're all psalm flippers. You may not acknowledge it, we're all psalm flippers. Why are we psalm flippers? Because David was a man after God's own heart. David was transparent in his relationship with the Lord. And that's what God wants of us. So it's okay to say, "God, I'm scared." And that's what I did. So I just had a few little requirements to make absolutely sure this was a God thing and not a Brad thing. So I want to have free office space and definitely donated in downtown Sacramento, California. Free computer system donated. Keep me on the radio stations for free. At the time, there were two that interviewed me weekly. We have to be in the black in 3 months, Lord, and I'm not going to charge anyone any time for any work we ever do. I thought it was very reasonable with my business model. And some of you in business go, "That's not a good business model." But it was exactly what I needed to make sure God was behind it. And He came and He gave tremendous grace. Out of the blue, someone called me before our office shut down and says, I have free office space for you. And I hadn't told anyone about this. I said, "How'd you know I needed office space?" I was sort of frustrated because this is my back door. I thought, this is going to be a miracle. And I said, my secretary heard me raise my voice because we hadn't shut down the Rutherford office. She comes in and says, "Oh, Brad, no, I knew our lease was expiring. I didn't know they were going to shut down the office completely. I knew our lease was expiring. So I was going to surprise you. And I asked KYCC Radio to announce that we were looking for free office space. Yes, we need free office space. And this is how God works. And on the radio, as far as a radio show, we now, God takes things way out more than you can imagine. We now have a radio program. It's called the Dacus Report. It's now on over 79 primary stations with some other transmitters too. 79 stations. And it's an awesome show. I mean, the guy who does it is, okay, it's my show. But it's a good show, just so you know. I don't know if it's here yet, but we'd love to have it in Phoenix sometime. And we also have the Legal Edge, the commentary as well. But the point is, God had his hand on it. And it's important for us to realize it's not about us. It's all about him as Christians. You want to serve the Lord? You want things to happen? First step, I think, is to realize it's not about us. It's not about who we are. It's about whose we are. When I started this organization, I thought it was going to be Brad's ministry, serving the Lord Jesus Christ. No, God says, no, Brad. This is God's ministry. And by his grace and mercy, he presently has Brad Dacus participating at this time. And that is the right attitude. I know your pastor appreciates that, realizing it's God's baby, because otherwise you go crazy. And just to see what God's going to do. And it's exciting to see what God's doing in this church and reaching out to the world around you. So, do we have challenges? Yes, we do. We have challenges as believers. And the exciting thing is that God gives us a wonderful role model, the Apostle Paul, in learning how to respond when the bell tolls, when God compels us to do something that is very, very uncomfortable, very much outside of our comfort zone as Christians. And we as Christians today have tremendous challenges, like never before in our nation's history, to be followers of Jesus. And it's growing, the challenge. So that's why it's so timely for us to look at the Apostle Paul, who dealt with more challenges, I think, scripturally than anyone I can think of in terms of well, just that challenges. So turn, if you will, to Acts chapter 22, verse 1. Acts chapter 22, verse 1. Or just trust me. I'm a lawyer. Well, I see you're really flipping fast now. I know. I see those pages. I can hear them faster now. No. Now, Paul, in verse 1, we see that Paul is telling his story, is sharing his story. And one of the exciting things to realize about Paul is that he loved to share his story. And God has fully equipped me, equipped you, to share our story, to share our story. And PowerPoint, we have that going now? Is that okay? Great. So that's the next one. And so God wants us to share our story and with what God's doing in our lives. And that's what Paul did. You know, sometimes we feel like we have to have a program. I love the four spiritual laws. I love the bridge diagram. That's my favorite. Okay. You know, God on one side and man. And I love that. My wife, she loves the Roman path. You know, she loves that. But reality, just sharing our story is a real powerful thing to do. And it's so easy because it's our story. And that's what Paul liked to do. Let's start with verse 1. Brethren and fathers, hear my defense before you now. And when they heard that he spoke to them in the Hebrew language, they kept all the more silent. Then he said, well, first off, is any accident that God gave him the Hebrew language in this circumstance? Is that an accident? God say, oh, what a wonderful coincidence. No, our God is the sovereign God who is outside the dimensions of time and space. He knew everything Paul was going to need for his glory before Paul even was. And the same applies for each of us. Things in our lives, whether it's auto mechanics or gardening or vitamins or... Okay, real quick. How many took omega-3 fish oil this morning? Come on. Okay, you're the true vitamin people, all right? These are all things God gives us to connect with people in our world that don't know Jesus, okay? And so we need to cherish those, even though they may not seem spiritual, but God in his sovereignty can use those. And that's what we see happening here with the Hebrew language. Verse 3. I am indeed a Jew born in Tarsus of Cilicia, but brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, taught according to the strictness of our father's law, and was zealous toward God as you all are today. Okay, now we see why God chose him, because he was very zealous. And no. Let's continue on with his resume, verse 4. I persecuted this way to the death, binding and delivering into prisons both men and women, as also the high priest bears me witness, and all the council of the elders, from whom I also received letters to the brethren, and went to Damascus to bring in chains even those who were there to Jerusalem to be punished. Paul just made a case for why he is the biggest loser. I mean, he even cited, which is really incredible, because if he was making this up, he wouldn't have said that all the counselor and the elders can tell, you know, can back this up. I mean, he cited his references because he knew it was that established as to who he was. He was the Osama bin Laden of the early church. Okay, you would not want to invite him to your Sunday morning service, probably. Okay, he is the living nightmare. And what does God do with the biggest losers, the biggest nightmares? This is awesome. We see it in verse 6. Now it happened, as I journeyed and came near Damascus, at about noon, suddenly a great light from heaven shone around me, and I fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to me, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" So I answered, "Who are you, Lord?" And he said to me, "I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you are persecuting." Whoa, God didn't strike him dead? No, he did quite the opposite. He died for him through his son, Jesus Christ. And what's really exciting is what it does not say in verse 6. Notice it doesn't say, as I was on my way, praying to the Lord, meditating on Scripture, seeking the Lord, fasting, with my face to the ground, calling on the Lord in humility. That's nowhere in verse 6. And what's really great about this is because Paul makes it very clear that he did nothing to deserve God's grace and intervention in his life. Nothing. That's what's so awesome about our story as Christians. Our story is not our story. Our story is shaped by God. Our story is shaped by God. And that's what Paul was talking about here. It was God's grace and intervention. You know, if it's not grace, if it's something we have to do, then it's really not grace, is it? And that's what's so miraculous about the Christian faith. You know, other faiths all throughout the world are all about doing what we can do to somehow get to a certain level, to do more, to get to a certain level. And Christianity is so different because it's all about, in humility and faith, realizing we can't do it on our own. We need the grace and mercy and forgiveness through Jesus Christ. And that kind of faith and experiencing that kind of love and forgiveness is liberating in our lives. So the story, it was prepared by God. It was prepared by God. Third is it also has a purpose. It has a purpose. For the sake of time, let's go fast forward. He's blinded by the light. He's led to Damascus. A certain man named Ananias hooks up with Paul in verse 14. He says, then he said, he's talking to Paul, "The God of our fathers has chosen you that you should know his will and see the just one," who's that? Jesus, okay, "and hear the voice of his mouth." Verse 15, "because now that you're saved, you can kick back knowing you've got your life insurance to heaven and you can be assured that everything's..." Is that what it says in verse 15? No. What's it say? It says, "For you will be his witness to all men of what you have seen and heard. Now, what are you waiting for? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." Boom. Paul, your life is just beginning. Your story is just beginning. And sometimes we as Christians, we think, okay, I got saved. We was at a crusade or a Sunday morning or somewhere. And yay, it's all done. And yeah, I mean, you're forgiven, you're part of God's family, yes, but it's not all done. Because the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit in your life, through the power of God's Word, is just beginning. And how God wants to use you in a way to impact eternity for His glory is exciting. Christian life is exciting because it has a dimension that a life without Christ doesn't have. So part of our exhortation is that our story, it has a purpose. And part of that purpose is to share that story with others. Now, why don't we share our faith? Oh, I remember when I was a brand new Christian in elementary school, I was so on fire for Jesus. I was so zealous. I could take a piece of burnt toast and say, "See this piece of burnt toast? This is what you're going to look like in hell if you don't receive Jesus, your Lord and Savior, right now." I was a toast flipper. No. Anyway. But I was so zealous for the Lord. And I was even a criminal for Jesus in elementary school. Yes. I took all these gospel tracts from my Baptist church. I thought, they're not doing good here. and then one private mailbox at a time in my neighborhood. The penal code is it can't get me now. The statute of limitations expired. I'm safe. But I was so zealous. And then as I got into junior high, I became more sophisticated about my faith, more dignified. I would wait for someone to come up to me and say, tell me about the hope that is within you, that I too may enter into the joy of the Lord. I mean, what? Reality is, I wasn't more sophisticated. I forgot my first love. I began to take his grace and his mercy and forgiveness of what he did for me for granted. He was forgiven little, loves little. He was forgiven much, loves much. As we as Christians, we need to remember what he's done for us on a regular basis. When we sing hymns and worship songs, we need to have our minds on Jesus. It's so easy to have it on something else, but it's all about Jesus and the life-changing work that he's done in our lives, and to allow that love and forgiveness not to be taken for granted and to flow out to others. Another reason we may not share our faith is because we've never actually received his forgiveness in the first place. You may be one of those people. Maybe you've gone to church all your life, may have gone through confirmation, may have gone through confession a number of times, may have gone to church camp, Bible study, tithe. I mean, done all the things. But you've never entered into a real, living relationship with the Lord God Almighty. And it could be because of the fact that you really think that God hasn't forgiven you or can't forgive you. Because you have this dark closet. And by the way, everyone has a dark closet, just for the record, okay, as fellow sinners, all right? But you got this dark closet, and you say, how could God forgive me for these things that are so shameful and disgraceful? I can't even forgive myself. You know what we're really saying to the Lord when we say that? It's the same as walking up to Jesus Christ on a cross, and there he is on the cross. Just picture on the cross here, dying, pouring out his blood, agony, gasping for air. And we say to him, nice try, Jesus. But you see, for me, that's just not good enough. And Christ had a response for that lie. And his response was, it is finished. And all we have to do is, in humility, is to acknowledge what he did for us on the cross, to believe it and receive it. And he will separate our sins as far as the east is from the west. He will wash us clean with his blood, bearing our sin, all of our sin, and make us a new creature, a new person, and have a real living relationship with the real and living God. If in sharing this just now, you felt something in your heart, you felt something impacting you, to saying that this was a truth that applies to you, I hope and pray that you will, this morning, choose to receive that forgiveness, that life-changing forgiveness through a relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, personally, have I thought through my testimony and who God is encouraging me to share it with? God wants us to do that. And one of the great ways of first starting off sharing Jesus and sharing your story is starting to pray for people. Just take a few people, think of them right now in your mind. The person who's the biggest pain in the neck, start with them. Start praying for them. And see what God's going to start doing. And that's an exciting thing. Number two, God has fully equipped me to deal with adversity. Yeah, you're not excited about that, are you? Yeah, people don't like this part of the message very much, I know. But guaranteed, you will have adversity. You will have adversity. 2 Timothy 3:12 makes it very clear. It says, yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Period. Welcome to God's family. Okay? That's reality. If you're living for Jesus, you're going to be persecuted. If you're displaying the love of Christ and the truth of the gospel in your life, you're going to be persecuted. And the reason is because of the power of the gospel and the truth of Christ. It challenges people in darkness. And they don't know why, but they're repulsed by it. If they're not repentant and receiving it, get open to it, they're repulsed by it. And you can face some kickback. And that's not unusual. Not unusual at all. Guaranteed, God already has a plan for it. Nothing takes our God by surprise. The omnipotent, all-powerful, all-knowing God, do you think anything takes him by surprise? No, he sees what's happening to you. He sees what you're going through. And you know what? He's going to be glorified through it. And he's going to bless your life spiritually and your walk and your faith with him in the process. Now, some of you are saying, you know, I don't really like this part. I like the other part. But this part's not good. Let me just give you a little story about why we shouldn't be complacent and just play it safe. When I was in Texas in seventh grade, my PE coach said one day, he says, "Okay, today we're going to play football, but it's going to be flag football, so no cushions, pads, or helmets are needed." And I saw my life flashing in front of me. Because, you see, in seventh grade, I could have given Gone with the Wind a new meaning, okay? I was so skinny. You could see, I could be on Feed the Hungry posters, all right? I mean, literally, I was so skinny. And there I am, facing death. Hut one, hut two, hut. And do I go for the flag? No, it's survival over, you know, and, you know, so I go backward as fast as I can to avoid the conflict. This, you would not want me on your team, okay? And as I'm going backward, I didn't see that we had a player behind us. His name was Robbie. His nickname, though, was Orca. And Orca was going forward, and I was going backward. And he was a big early bloomer, and he just smashed on top of me on the way to the flag and broke this thumb the first play of the game. Now, if I had been obedient, and here's the gold nugget, if I had been obedient and had gone for the flag, would I have gotten hurt? Probably. But I would have had the joy that comes with obedience. Saints, if we want to experience God's joy to the max in our lives, if we really want to experience life to the max in a real way, then we need to choose to be obedient and follow the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives. And that includes being willing in season and out of season to share our story, to share the good news of Jesus Christ to the world around us. And that is so important. People, when we just live for ourselves, life isn't really all that exciting. And it's not that fulfilling as opposed to when we're living for Jesus. I get excited when we win a case, comes down, and yay, and God we trust is defended for the Ninth Circuit. I was excited for that. I am much more excited when people come to Jesus. That is much more exciting. And you look at Scripture, that's a big, big priority. That's what we're exhorted as believers. So how will I respond to adversity? The way I did playing football, the way the Apostle Paul did. Let's take a look at that. In verse 22, Paul had just finished sharing his story, and we see the audience's response to this. Okay, now this is the Apostle Paul. So when he's preaching, sharing his story, you think there's going to be like, boom, massive things happening, people coming forward, receiving Jesus. Let's take a look. And they listened to him until this word. Then they raised their voices and said, "Away with such a fellow from the earth, for he is not fit to live." Then as they cried out and tore off their clothes and threw dust into the air. Okay, this isn't good, is it? Okay. The commander ordered him to be brought into the barracks and said that he should be examined under scourging so that he might know why they shouted so against him. What would you be thinking if you were Paul? You missed your calling? I mean, this is a disaster, right? Like, you better just retreat. Verse 25. And as they bound him with thongs, Paul said to the centurion who stood by, quote, "Is it lawful for you to scourge a man who is a Roman and uncondemned?" Whoa! Paul has claimed his rights of due process under the law, and he does it in the most non-offensive manner possible in the form of a question. Why does he do this? I think two reasons. Number one, Paul understands that it's not about results. It's not. If God's worthy of all glory, honor, and praise, then folks, he gets the credit for the results, not us. It's all about him. Instead, what it's about, it's about obedience. Being obedient. That's what matters. You know, is Paul driven by results? No. He says, I've 2 Timothy chapter 4, I've fought the good fight. I finished the course. I've kept the faith. Not that I started new churches and I did this and did this. No. I fought the good fight. I finished the course. I have kept the faith. That's our reference point, not results. Don't get discouraged with regard to results. If you share Jesus and it seems like everyone's rejecting you all the time for all your life, it's not about results. It's about being obedient. I remember once I shared Jesus with an 18-year-old a long time ago, And he goes, I'm in college. I have new ways of thinking. I said, well, maybe right for you, may not be right for me. Yeah. And how everything is relative. Yeah. And how there are no absolutes. Yeah. And I said, well, let me tell you that's wrong. And went through and did the bridge diagram, everything. And went in one ear and out the other. And I thought, what a waste of my time. I even gave more than a carpenter. Okay. Waste of my time. 17 years later, he knocks on my door. And there's a young man who says how he went to prison. But while he was in prison, he remembered the gospel that I shared with him. He's now out of prison. He's now in full-time ministry. He wanted to come by and thank me for taking the time to share the gospel. And I felt humbled because I remembered how my heart was so proud about my time. And instead, having a truly submissive heart, saying, God, it's all about you and me. And that's what God wants us to do. So we have an example here of Paul would never give up. God has equipped us all to never, never, never give up. First off, am I ready to persevere at work? Am I ready to persevere at work? There's several examples here. Cal State University professor fired from his job. Why? Because he talked about, as scientists, he talked about a Triceratops fossil that had soft tissue in it, he discovered. He was ostracized because implicit they thought it's because you're a Christian that you discovered this. Well, it was the discovery, conclusive. He says, no, there's no place for religious people like you in this university, is what one professor said. A year later, that same professor became the head of the department and fired our client. And that's a growing effort, is to purge Christians and people who believe in the word from universities, from corporations, and from places of leadership across the country. It's on the internet. Their strategy is open and up front. People who are repressive, who are opposed to those who follow Jesus and believe in the word of God. And so we're representing him. We filed a lawsuit on his behalf. There's a police officer who's right now we're representing in hearings. Why? Because on his personal Facebook, he said he didn't agree with the Supreme Court's decision dealing with marriage this last year. Because he said that on his Facebook, he may be fired. And yet, a free society, I think that's repulsive. And so we at Pacific Justice are representing him. We defended a Christian business that had Christian music. In Salinas, California, it had like a swimming pool, training people to swim. They were sued because one mother says, I'm an atheist and my child should be able to get your services without being exposed to anything Christian. You know what, after 2 years of litigation, you know what the judge's conclusion was? It says, as long as this business doesn't discriminate on who they serve or who they hire, they can be as religious as they want in their business. That's the freedom that God's given us. Right here in this country, and we need to take advantage of that. Am I ready to persevere at school? A child in Loomis, California, near Sacramento, had to write an apology 3 times by the principal mate. 3 times. Why? Because she invited 2 of her friends to a Christian event at her church during recess. 5th grade girl. We filed a lawsuit in federal court. That school district will never, ever do that again. And she was vindicated. In Everett, Washington, a new Christian on fire for Jesus, a senior in high school, sharing his faith. And you know what happens? He's under attack. He's suspended. And so he comes back to school, and he's still sharing his faith and giving gospel tracts to friends and people, students, in between classes. They bring him into the office, and they say to him, didn't we tell you not to do this? Didn't we tell you to stop sharing your faith? And he says, I cannot help it. I have to share the good news of Jesus. And so they suspended him again. And then when he came back, he was doing it again. And they just said, you're not getting it, are you? You're suspended. We were contacted. We go into federal court. We file a lawsuit. And after some intensive litigation, because it didn't look good. It did not look good. In the end, the judge held, and he was about to be permanently expelled, by the way. That was the next step they were moving on, while we were litigating. The judge held that this young man's speech is protected by the First Amendment of the Constitution. And that's out of the 9th Circuit. I mean, I know what you're thinking. What good thing can come from the 9th Circuit, right? Hey, if in the Old Testament God can speak to a donkey. Anyway, so we see God's grace in times that I thought for sure we'd win. A homeschooling case, I thought we'd lose for sure under appeal. State of California, those judges reversed themselves and vindicated the rights of people to homeschool. A church was told they couldn't move into a building. And this is about community involvement. And we had to take it to the 9th Circuit Court of Appeals. The 9th Circuit Court of Appeals reversed the judge from San Francisco and said that churches have a right to be able to move into buildings even if it's not zoned for churches, under the religious the Arlupa statute and a religious land use and institutionalized persons act of 2000. That's exciting to see how God is still moving. Saints, sometimes we live our lives like we're in the rapture, like the rapture's already happened and we're left behind, right? We get this huddle mentality. I got my bread, I got my bullets, I got my Bible. Let's just bunker down. There's no bunker down theology I hear in the scripture. I hear, go ye therefore into all the world, is what I hear. Because I will be with you always, even to the end of the age. And I'm not talking about me, I'm talking about Jesus. And that's the assurance, the promise we have from the Almighty One, the non-changing Lord that we have. We see challenges today without question. There's the law in several states forbidding counseling for those who are struggling with same-sex attraction. The law that in California lets boys go into girls' locker rooms and showers. The reality is we need to reach out for them in love. And at the same time, we need to stand up for those. And that's what we're doing at Pacific Justice in our cases and litigating those cases. And as we do this litigation, we need to remember how much God loves those who don't know Jesus. You know, I visited with a transgender gentleman by God's providence. He was a guy who demonstrated in front of our office. Less than 2 weeks later, we're on the same TV show. And he's right next to me. I says, you know, is it possible we can get together and talk after this? And 20 years ago, I would not have done that. I would have thought, well, no, he's the enemy. He's the opposing. But you know what? There's not enemies. There's just people who are lost. People like I was lost. People who need Jesus. So I met with him for over 3 hours. We talked. And I listened, and I showed him love and respect. He was raised Baptist. He knew John 3:16. But he was hurting. He was in pain. And my hope and desire is for him to come back to that relationship of a God who wants to work with his life and love him and loves him right where he is, the same way God loves each of us right where we are and wants us to work in our lives and transform us through his will and through his power, not our own. And that's what God, I feel, has really put on our hearts as Christians, is to reach out to those who may be uncomfortable, and even maybe those who are hostile, who are just outright against us, to be bold enough to sit down and love them and give them forbearance and grace right where they are. Now, you may, in hearing this message, you may have thought, well, that's a nice message, but I don't think God can use me. Well, first, I encourage you to, once again, fill out this white sheet so we keep you updated. That means a lot to me personally. But let me just give you a final story for the sake of time. It's about a young boy who was 16 years old. And for those of you who don't think God can use you, and he was in a major auto accident. He was a Christian. He'd given his life to Jesus Christ. A motorcycle, though, went right through his windshield, hit him head-on in the boy's lane. The boy was in the car. He went smashing through the windshield and smashed through the boy's skull. It was a very gruesome accident. They had to cut a large hole the size of a silver dollar out of his skull just for the brain to swell. About a third of the brain was hemorrhaging. The left part of the brain was filled with logic, reasoning, analytical thinking, and speech communications. As far as the world was concerned, this boy and his future was toast, in the trash, only to be pitied for what could have been. In fact, his parents were told, he said, your son's had major brain damage. Even if he lives, he still could be a vegetable. You may still have to pull the cord, end quote. And yet, our God is a great recycler. And he loves to take that which the world throws away and by his own grace and intervention do something new. And that's just what he did with this young boy. There was tremendous healing that took place. This young boy ended up going to college. He got his degree in finance with a 3.85 in his major from Texas A&M University. Worked his way through school, worked 2 years, then he went to law school at one of the top 20 law schools in the country, the University of Texas, graduated in the top half of his class. And I know this young man very, very well, because that young man is me. And I know, surprise. But the reason I'm sharing this story with you is not so you'll say, yeah, praise God. The reason I'm sharing this story with you guys is not so you'll say, there's the Lord's special anointed for verily, verily, verily. No, stop the verilies, okay? Talk to my wife. She'll tell you after 15 years of marriage how crooked my halo is, all right? So, guys, you want to get humbled, marriage is a great first step, okay? So I'll leave it at that. But anyway, the reason I'm sharing this is because the truth is that if you've given your life to Jesus Christ, he has given you an anointing and a purpose to be here this day and this hour. And it's not for us. It's to commune with Him and to live for Him and to see what He wants to do in our lives and realize it's not about us, it's about Him. It's not about who we are and our abilities. It's about whose we are and whether we're going to submit in faith to Him and what He wants to do in our lives for His purpose. And that's exciting as we do that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God, I thank and praise You for what You're doing in this church. Thank You and praise You, Lord God. It's not about us. It's all about You. It's not about who we are. It's about whose we are. Father, I just pray, Father, for Your Holy Spirit, Father. For those of us who haven't shared our faith in a while, maybe we've gotten complacent. Father, the challenge now to Christians overseas and in our country now is becoming greater and greater, Lord. Now is not the time for complacency. Father, compel us in our heart to renew that love that compels us, Lord, the love of Jesus Christ, to reach out and to share with the world around us, Father. Our time may be much shorter than we realize, Father. Awaken us, Father. Awaken us to follow You like never before. Father, we also pray for those here this morning who may not know You in a personal way. They may be religious, but as we talked about earlier, they may not know You personally. Father, we pray right now for Your Holy Spirit, Father, just to confirm in their heart that they need You. As we pray, say this prayer, with every head bowed, just say this prayer with me right now. And if you're one of those people, receive now that forgiveness. Just say, Lord God, I'm a sinner. You know my past. You know my background. You know everything I have done. And right now, in faith, I choose to receive Your forgiveness, Your full covering through what Jesus Christ did on the cross right now. Lord, I thank You for that forgiveness, for covering all my sin. And Lord, I hand You the reins of my life. I surrender my life to You. Make me the person that You want me to be. I want to follow You from this day forward. In Jesus' name, amen. If you just prayed that prayer, I'm going to tell you something. Satan is really ticked off because he just lost his hand of dominion in your life. He's really upset. His second alternative, his hope is that you'll forget about it. You'll sort of put it aside. And God won't be able to work with you because you just sort of minimize what He just did in your life. To give Satan a second black eye, I'm not going to ask you to come forward, but I'm just going to ask you to do this in humility. If you just prayed that prayer, will you just simply raise your hand right now so we can clap and welcome you to God's family? Did anyone this morning pray that prayer at all? Anyone at all? That's okay if not, but anyone pray that prayer? Okay. Saints, next Sunday, let's reach out this week to people who need Jesus, who need to hear the gospel, so that they too can experience that joy and the truth of being a follower of Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you.